Well, welcome to the Frankincense Podcast. I am your host, Bobby Benavides.
And I am your co-host, Jared St. Martin Brown. It is good to be back.
It is really good to be back. Really good to be back. So we are coming in hot this episode with some kind of a conversation that needs to be had because it's a really big one.
Okay.
But it's also just a fun one. So we are going to be talking about the different types of Bibles you can get. Primarily, this conversation has stemmed from.
Is it a new translation? And
Or
is it like piggybacked on? I mean, I don't know anything about it. Is it really like someone just sat down and said, "I'm going to do my own translation," and it's gonna favor America heavily. So
it's not a new Bible translation. It's an NIV, but it's still a new Bible option. Let's just say it's a new Bible option. Okay. That's what it did to be. So
I remember when I was a kid, they had all these youth Bibles, and you know, I mean, they had every kind of like, I don't know, skateboard themed Bibles and things like that, right? Like it was the NIV Bible, or it was the NASB or New King James or something, and it was just dressed up sort of artistically, like graphic design, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they have there's the sports Bibles, like the athletic Bibles that have like a football player on the front or a basketball player on the front or something like that. It's like the action Bibles.
I bet you five bucks. There's like a Duck Commander Bible, and it's like camouflage.
I bet you anything.
I bet you it's got like devotionals from like Phil and, you know.
There probably is. I could probably look that up and see what's available.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to go ahead and give a description of the Lee Greenwood God Bless the USA Bible.
Can I just ask, is this Lee Greenwood the guy who wrote the song, right? Like God Bless the USA.
Yeah.
The songwriter. Okay.
Yeah. So with a large print, easy to read typeface. So it kind of already tells you like who the audience is for this one. And a slim size. The NIV Thin Line Bible invites you to deeply explore God's word anywhere and anytime. Expertly designed for the New International Version text. Exclusive comfort print typeface delivers a smooth reading experience that complements the most widely read contemporary English Bible translation. Okay. Then, also in this Bible, complete text of the readable, accurate, and clear New International Version. Awesome.
Uh-huh.
But then there's also a readable founding USA documents are included.
All right.
The Pledge of Allegiance, the U.S. Constitution,
the whole U.S. Constitution. I like it.
The Declaration of Independence.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Bill of Rights.
Right, which is in the U.S. Constitution as the First Amendment.
Right. But it's making sure that these things are clarified. That these are.
You know, I bet you freedom of religion is like got its own font. Like it's huge, probably. So.
Yeah. A perfect heirloom keepsake companion for, check out this list, the family, homeschooling households, which you and I, this would be a great thing for us.
We're homeschool people and we have families. So already it's reaching us. So
now they lose us here with grandparents. We're not grandparents yet, but you know.
No, but my children have grandparents, so.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay. Military, you're a veteran.
I am a veteran, yep.
New American citizens.
That's good for them to include new American citizens because I was skeptical that they would want to do that. I'm just putting it out there.
Faith and values advocates, U.S. history buffs,
okay.
Brides. Sorry. Yeah, that's what it says here. Birthdays.
Grooms.
Yeah. There's no grooms. Just brides. Just the brides.
We're assuming that she has to be married to a history buff or a veteran. Maybe she is a veteran. What if she's a veteran, a history buff, and a bride?
And a new American
And
citizen.
you know what? And a new American citizen. And what the heck, a grandparent.
She could be a teen.
Yep. She could be a teen. Is that one of the people it's for?
Yeah, teens. Yep. Yep.
That's good. That's good.
Birthdays, anniversary, and anyone that loves America. That is the last person that it could be a companion for.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is the Bible that has been actually kind of I think over 600 copies have been sold so far. Probably that number
watch
probably
out.
Changed. Yeah.
Watch out, J.K. Rowling. Watch out, Stephen King. 600 copies.
And they're making sure to have this released in September of 2021 to commemorate the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
There's so much I want to ask. Like, if it were to catch on fire, would it explode into a 4th of July fireworks display? Not that anyone would let it catch on fire, because you would be simultaneously Bible burning and flag burning at the same time.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It does say it is made out of Kevlar. No, I'm just kidding. Not really.
What? No. Okay. Because then it would be bulletproof. Oh, you had me there, because I wouldn't put anything past that. Listen, I wouldn't put it past the makers of this Bible to, like, if you flip through the book of Psalms and there's one extra Psalm and it is the lyrics to God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood.
Okay. So that's where this leads to being a little bit problematic, right? Because,
okay.
I mean, a lot problematic. Let's put it, it's a lot problematic. When you have this God Bless the USA Holy Bible, yes. Right? Now, the problem with this, again, the whole God Bless the USA statement is like, it's very interesting to really wrestle with that, because,
yeah.
Again, God only blesses us. No, that's not true. Like, and we know that. Yeah. But for some reason, it's like, it creates this tension of, okay, so where is this Bible going to be allowed? Because again, this Bible... I know they gave a list of, I know they gave a list that is new American citizens and anybody who loves America. I get that. But at the same time, what if, like, somebody actually wanted to market this or wanted to actually take this somewhere else, right? Like what kind of message is that sending, that this Bible had the US Constitution in it, and that this is the Holy Bible. Yeah. And for anybody, let's say, okay, so let's go ahead and take it to the next level. Let's say somebody takes it with them across the seas, right? They go to some foreign country and they are walking with this Bible. And let's say they drop this Bible, they leave it somewhere. And then someone who's never read the gospel before picks up this Bible. They open it up and they first see the U.S. Constitution in the Bible. Now,
oh man, illiterate.
What I mean, like, this is basically telling people that this is a holy document, right? The U.S. Constitution is a holy document.
I guess I didn't think of it that way, but like, if you put it together in the Bible, is it an attempt to canonize it? Like the Holy Scriptures, I mean, at least by some publisher. I'm not saying the Southern Baptist Convention is gonna like try to canonize the U.S. Constitution or something, or you know, the Declaration of Independence. But this publisher, like, is that sort of what's going on here? You know. Or is there a disclaimer? Is there a disclaimer, you know, that, like, you know, all scripture is God breathed, but we just want to point out the Declaration of Independence is not Holy Scripture.
Yeah. I feel like I would hope that they would do that. I think that they're assuming that people would know that. But again, when we are living in a time where there's a large portion of our nation alone that is very biblically illiterate, has either no connection with the church, no connection with the Bible. You know, they don't really understand that. If they were to pick this one up, because, oh yeah, cool, Lee Greenwood, yeah, I love that song, God Bless the USA. Yeah. And they pick it up and they open up the Bible and they start reading it and they're seeing these documents in there. what the message is being sent is these are holy documents, that these are that these are actually, like you said, the word of God is God breathed, but now the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, these are documents that are supposed to be held at the same esteem as the Bible. That, because that's what you're basically saying.
That that's that seems crazy to me. It should seem crazy to most people. But I think there is a market for this. I think there are a lot of people that don't see the problem with this at all. That there's, you know, this feeling that America, you know, the whole America, American exceptionality thing, that that we are special. America's like, the United States of America is a wonderful country, but the attitude that we're somehow like the leaders of, I guess, like the world's quest to get closer to God or understand God. We've always sort of had this thing where we're like, we're doing it right, people, you know, everybody get on board with us. Like, you know, it's sort of part of the American story now, you know, to you know, to basically say, like, listen, like, America's the example of, like, if God was going to make a country and make a government his way, you're looking at it when you look at America. But really, when you get into the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, you understand that that's not true. We're just another country. We're a good country, but we are absolutely not better than other nations. And in fact, you know, there are plenty of nations that may even be more population-wise, the individuals in their population might be collectively more Christian or more Christ-like than how we actually live our day-to-day lives here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there I said it. There I said it. I'm telling everyone, it's like, America is not necessarily the most Christian nation, even though we really feel that that's part of our story. Like, that's kind of our mythology, is that, like, we're the Christian nation, you know, and that the founding fathers were doing God's work, you know, but not necessarily more so than any other nation, you know.
Right. And again, this is, we've had this conversation in the past.
Yeah.
Our double standards, right?
Yeah.
Because we want the God Bless USA Bible. But what if, you know, there's a lot of things I'll be bringing up here in just a second here, but what if, this is one thing I want to think about. Like, what if another religion, Muslim, right? Let's say the Muslim faith, they decide, okay, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do an Allah bless, right?
Yeah.
The USA.
All right. Quran. Okay.
They wouldn't, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but, like, what if they did? What if they did that? And then would we, Christians, like, I'm saying we, even though we don't associate with the Christians, who would probably, like, I'm not going to say we don't associate. We don't put ourselves in the place of people who would buy this kind of Bible. We are not those people, but we probably know people who would.
I know people that if I gave this as a gift to them, they would receive it unironically, for sure.
Yeah. But would those Christians be willing to accept a Quran with that message in it? Because they wouldn't, right? Because the thing is, it's the Christian thing that this is, like, it's like, this is our place. When in reality, the United States of America is a melting pot, right? I mean, it is a mixture of all different people, all different faiths, all different nationalities, ethnicities, coming into a place where they are finding freedom, and they are finding a place to practice their religion freely and practice who they are freely. And for some reason, it's like we're allowing ourselves to become this place, or these people who are saying, we own this nation. When that's never been the reality, that's never been the identity of the United States of America was built around, basically a people coming in and taking over, you know, and then trying to eradicate a group of people,
their traditions, all the indigenous people that we're here. Yeah.
So now we see this God Bless the USA Bible, and I'm starting to wrestle with a couple of things here, because now for me, right, I'm going to hold up my ESV study Bible. Now, I love this Bible because I use this Bible to prepare for my messages, for sermons, and I do a lot of research through that. Okay. I also have my ESV little Bible here, because this is the one that I preach from. Now, I study out of the ESV study Bible, preach from this ESV, and I have like a little NIV. I have a lot of different Bible styles, right? Because I just have a lot of Bibles. Yeah. I like reading it. Now, my struggle, and this is where this is one question I'm going to ask you in a sense, but I'm also going to kind of like say, like, this is a tension. The ESV study Bible.
Yeah.
I paid almost $40 for, maybe actually almost $60, I think, at the time when it came out. And when it came out, I was like, man, I really love this Bible. I really want to get it. I'm going to have to get it. And because of what was in it, I knew it was going to come with a lot of awesome stuff. Yeah. Now, the thing is, when I paid that $60, I wasn't thinking I'm paying for the words inside. I'm paying for people who spent a lot of time doing research to put that information into this Bible, right? Those people took a lot of time and effort to do the maps, to do the little, like, here's the information, here's the cross, you know, the cross referencing, here's the, you know, here's the history, like all that stuff. So I'm paying for them, right? Because they put a lot of time into it. When I'm paying, or when I'm someone bought this Bible for me, but when I'm, if somebody paid $25 for this Bible, when honestly all it is just the Bible, the Word of God, right? So okay. Old Testament, New Testament, and then some, you know, little like cross referencing pieces at the end. Okay. I'm paying for that gold look on the pages, right? I'm paying for this fake leather bound that's on here. I'm paying these people to basically, they're marketing the scriptures. And I struggle with this a lot, because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, right, is supposed to be free. Like, okay. It's supposed to be something like we're supposed to like give like to people and like be able to share with people and to be able to, and I know that we should be carrying it, but at the same time, like, if we make this so unaffordable,
right,
then how are people, there could be a reason why we are in a biblically illiterate nation right now, because people can't afford Bibles. Like, they can't go out and just buy one. Like, and then when they get a Gideon Bible, right, one of those little ones that you find in a hotel room, they aren't even the full scriptures. Like, it's not even the full things. Like, they're getting a portion of it. So then, now it's like, for them to say, oh man, I want to read more, you can maybe go online to Bible Gateway or go to YouVersion, the YouVersion app, right, if they know how to get that. But if they actually want a physical copy of the Bible, they have to pay a crazy amount of money for it.
Okay, yeah.
Should it be that way?
I guess it gets a little expensive. I've never run into this situation myself. I've always skirted it somehow, because I've always like been short on cash, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I've always had a Bible. I don't know why. I think I've gotten them as gifts, and if I wanted something special, you know, I found it. So we have this place in town called Ollie's. It's like one of those bargain closeout places.
Yeah.
Holy cow, the piles of Bibles at Ollie's, you know. And I actually bought my last one there for like $15 or something like that, you know.
I have a funny story about Ollie's when you're done. I'll share it with you.
Oh, okay. I imagine there's no unfunny stories about Ollie's. So, but I really am finished. Is it fair? I guess it's not. But I also think that's probably the one thing that somebody could ask for from a church and probably have that given to them. And I hate to say that's the one thing, because you could go to a church and say, hey, can you pay my gas bill, or can you buy me some groceries? And you might get a no, but if you got, hey, can you give me a Bible? There's probably going to be a yes on that one. So
you would hope, right?
You would hope. Yeah.
You would hope.
Or someone would pull something together. I don't know how this works out for really, truly impoverished people. Most of the poor people that I knew, once they got on their feet and started to get a job, the first thing they bought was a smartphone. And that sounds like to everyone else who doesn't understand like homelessness and poverty, that sounds like a waste of money. But really, if you think about it, it's your first step towards being employed these days. Because how do you get a job? First of all, you need a phone. And how do your employers contact you about your schedule, or like call you into work last minute, or ask you to work a double shift? It's always like with your cell phone, right? Or a text.
Mm-hmm.
And usually with those, there's some kind of free downloadable Bible app of some sort. So I don't know. My gut feeling is that there's ways around it. But I've been basically poor my whole life. I've just figured it out. So I'm not trying to be dramatic, say poor. I have lived below poverty level every year, except for year before last. I was finally lower middle class. And then this year I'm back to poverty level. But guess what? I made more money this year, and I expect to be back up to middle class by next tax season.
Well, that's, that's fantastic. I'm happy
for you. And by the way, I'm a school teacher, everybody. This is why I'm poor. I am happily poor. I'm not a person who's complaining about it. I chose this life. Just let me put that out there. So
yeah, you deserve more, but you aren't necessarily griping that you don't get more. So that's
right. I get why it is the way it is. It's not what I'm here to fix, but I live with it because I'm doing what I love, you know? So
yeah. Well, so before I go on in the conversation on the Bibles, so funny story about Ollie's. So I went to seminary.
Yeah.
And when I was in seminary, I bought a bunch of books because that's what they tell you to do, right? You buy your books and it's time to study. So that's great. About $180 worth of books. Well, when my semester was over, I go to Ollie's because I like going there and I kind of look finding books. I found 5 out of the 8 books that I needed for my semester at Ollie's. All 5 of them would have cost me $25.
Yeah. They're not messing around over there. It's the one place that still has like really cheap stuff.
I was blown away. I'm like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. I just bought these books for $180 and I just found 5 of them for $25. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Piles of books. But it's basically like walking through an overstock.com, but like in person, you know?
Yeah. If you are listening, Ollie, and you want to sponsor our podcast, we will gladly have you on. And it's just basically all we're asking for is like a $10 coupon. We aren't really asking for you to pay for anything because we know you. So,
yeah. Yeah, for real though. But a $10 coupon at Ollie's, man, that's great. Like, you know, you're coming home with like, you know, clothes, food, like a tarp, you know, like a couple of wrenches for your car, you know.
A chia pet.
A chia pet, exactly. So
anyway, okay.
The best thing about Ollie's, the candy that didn't make it. You know, like the Reese's or the Snickers, like if they tried for like a month to sell banana flavored Snickers and it didn't sell, they're all at Ollie's, man.
At Ollie's, that's right.
Yeah.
If you've been looking for those banana flavored Snickers, that's where you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Bibles. So now the next thing, the marketing for Bibles, right? The things that they add in, we talked about the Lee Greenwood Bible, but we also have the sports Bibles. You have the Bibles for people to kind of color in, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, again, this is I'm coming back to this whole thing of what the Muslim faith would do, right? Because again, I said, this is a disclaimer. I haven't done a whole lot of research on like marketed Qurans.
Well, while you do that, I just want to look up skater Quran and see if that's a thing, but go ahead.
Yeah. Like the thing about it is like, I feel like there is a little bit more of respect, honor, reverence given to the scriptures by different faiths than I think ours. It's become a bit of a, well, what Bible do you have? You know, it's become a bit of a demonstration of how faithful you are, is if you have a bigger, thicker Bible. You know, it depends. Like, there's a lot of things about it that it's no longer like it might be important to like read and stuff like that for some, but I think a lot of times though, what it's become is again a marketing ploy, right? Where we have these special like things that have to be done in order for people to even be interested in reading the Bible. Like we have, this is what the US, right? I don't know what they do overseas. I'm saying here in the US, these are the kind of Bibles that are being marketed, because in order for us to be willing to look at scripture, apparently we have to have some sort of entertainment involved in it. We have to have some sort of thing that draws our attention to it instead of finding the excitement within the scriptures themselves. When we find a football Bible or a sports Bible, which, awesome, like, okay, great. But then they have the quotes from famous Christian athletes or coaches or whatever, and people find more excitement of reading those quotes from famous athletes and coaches instead of actually reading the scriptures. You know what I mean? And that I think is another tension that we have to wrestle with in our faith, in our journey, especially in our nation, that if we are going to be a Christian nation, but yet we are biblically illiterate, and if we are a Christian nation, right, quote unquote, you and I both know that we are not, but if we were going to say that we are a Christian nation, then there should be a reverence given to the Holy Scriptures. Something that we are dedicating our time to reading and understanding the Bible, something that we need to be pouring ourselves into, that we're looking into on a regular basis and learning and letting the words penetrate and embed themselves within us. And I feel like, again, we are looking more for the quotes and for the little short quips from famous speakers or whatever, that, you know, that's where we're getting our holy word from, instead of actually digging into this Bible that we just spent 40, $50 on just to go ahead and say we bought it, but we're not really spending time in it. People will buy this Lee Greenwood Bible, and they will spend more time paying attention to the US Constitution and recognizing the forefathers, you know, that brought our nation to be. And they won't even spend time to understand that maybe what Jesus said actually contradicts a lot of stuff that we've set up in our nation, you know. But again, that's if they want to read it. And a lot of times people aren't willing to read it. They're not willing to put the time into it, but they're wanting to buy these collector's editions Bibles. And it's like, what? When did we need to have collector's edition Bibles? I don't understand.
That is something, right? I guess I never thought of them like that. But I think what you're saying is probably the real point of them, because like in a marketing sense, and this is amazing, because usually I'm the most cynical about something, but when I see all the crazy Bibles, I think like, oh, that's like for outreach. You know, that's the sort of attract sort of a maybe a fraction of the population. And if we get enough of these fractions of the population attracted, it's like we're all kind of meeting in God's word. But yeah, if you have to buy it, you know, then maybe it's not for outreach, you know. I feel like maybe that needs to be a gift for someone, but I just don't know. I just don't know, like what actually happens with these kinds of things, you know, the God Bless the USA Bible. I remember all the teen Bibles and all the cool looking things. I got a hold of those as a kid because, like, a youth pastor would sort of buy one and like hand it over to you. You know what I mean? So,
Well, because the church had the budget for it.
the church had the budget for it. Yeah. So, I guess what I'm realizing now is like somebody does pay for it. And that is, if to be really honest, it is a publisher's way to sort of dress up something, sort of. Goose it up, you know, sort of goose up the Bible, give a little, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like sex appeal to like maybe somebody who's really interested in, you know, combining American history with the Bible, or combining you know, happen to be interested in. And you know, it's a way, it's, you know, the Bible hasn't changed, you know, and it's like trying to sell copies of like Romeo and Juliet or Hamlet, you know. I mean, it's everywhere. It's free. The culture, the English speaking culture is super saturated with those texts, you know. So we got to release some kind of addition or make it like look cool or attractive to like maybe young people or something, you know. And so that's what it's for. Yeah, it is a little crazy. I went and looked up like what kind of teen Qurans they have, and they do have such a thing. And I thought they did because I had seen this one time. We had a couple of kids from, they're both graduated now, but they were at my high school and they were from Syria, and their dad had basically been a Syrian refugee, but was able to, he had the money to like kind of get out, you know. He had the means to like get the family out before the civil war got bad. He was a doctor, and he was actually able to make his way to America and become a U.S. citizen before things really got bad over there, right? So his kids had been in the United States for a long time when the Syrian civil war really like broke out. But they at an international day, they were speaking about Syria, and they're speaking, and what the brother was speaking about Syria itself, the sister was speaking about Islam, you know, as part of their sort of international day display. And I remember seeing, you know, I had my kids get the briefing from her on what is Islam. You know, I wanted my kids to hear that from her. Mm-hmm. Someone who lived it, someone who grew up in it, you know, was an 11th grader in high school at the time. And I remember she had sort of a cool looking Quran for young people, but they do have that. I did look up, do they have a skateboarder Quran? Like they have like a skateboarder Bible, and they don't have that. But I did find a really nice story about a boy who saw someone about to have a Quran burning, and he was a skater, and he skated over and like rescued the Qurans from being burned. And I was like, well, good for him. You know, he was like, it wasn't even his beliefs. He was just like, no, that's idiotic. Go get those books.
So, yeah. And I think that's the thing, right? Is that we maybe if we found ways to teach the Bible in a better way, maybe if we made the Bible more interesting, and I say that in a way where it's like the Bible is interesting enough.
Oh, maybe if we actually taught the story,
if we taught the stories correctly, like, If we in Sunday school, right? When, like, I mean, we've spoken about this, but it's like we talk about David and Goliath, and like at the same time, like I know that we don't want to go too gory, or whatever, with the kids, but at the same time, I don't recall ever like seeing a Vacation Bible School curriculum that pointed out what David did to Goliath's head at the end of the battle, right?
Right.
I've never seen that. But it's like, instead of saying, look, this is really what it's about. But instead it's very tame, very like, And then of course you have Jesus with the Orlando Bloom wavy hair that makes him look nice, you know, and it's like.
centered on this like sort of sanitized theme that, you know, if you believe in God, it's like having almost like a Marvel superpower. You will kill giants, you know?
Yeah.
And, so
like when we make it tame and we make it just kind of like, oh, soft spoken Jesus, who's always so gentle, so kind, which I'm sure he was gentle and kind when he needed to be.
Yeah,
but he was pretty hardcore at the same time.
And if you read the book of Luke, you know, sometimes you're like, dang, he's like really he really lays into his own disciples sometimes, you know, like the people who were closest to him, like, you know, Peter, you're just like, sometimes it's like he just looks at Peter and he's just like, dude, you know,
I mean, when he's calling these people broods of vipers and a whitewashed sepulchers, you know, like it's not gentle, you know. He's not like, oh, you guys are just broods of vipers. Like, he's not being gentle, he's being harsh and he's being heavy,
right?
But like, again, when we share like the words that he says, for some reason it's like we don't know how to teach it to where it makes it exciting. And I have to constantly check myself on this. Like, am I teaching the Bible in a way that draws out, like, man, like, I want to read this. Like, I want to see what happened. Like today I preached, this is what we're recording on a Sunday. I preached on Nehemiah's prayer because we were walking through the idea of prayer. What's the value of prayer? Why is it essential? And
right.
I walked through, I broke down like Nehemiah's prayer, how it covers how we should be designing our prayers. I'm not saying like we have to be praying, you know, a certain length or saying certain words, but the way that Nehemiah prays is very similar to the way Jesus told his disciples to pray.
Yeah.
It's honoring God, confessing our need for him, and then asking him for his provision. And then again, honoring him and trusting and recognizing where our strength comes from. Right. And that's how it goes. But then I was talking about how Nehemiah then goes on and he gets what he needs to build the wall and save his people in a sense. And I was like, but you got to read the book. You got to read this story because it's amazing, right? And I saw some people kind of like open their Bibles and actually want to, like, it looked like they actually turned to Nehemiah, right? And found it and like
started to get into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, if we can make it and if we can teach it with excitement,
then
maybe it'll get people excited. If we find excitement on our own when we read it, and this is why we're excited about it. You need to check this out. This is incredible. And then when people read it, they're like, oh, wow, this is like, I didn't need to have some flashy Kevlar Bible. I just needed to be able to read the Bible. Like, this is incredible to me. And I feel like we have to get to a place where, I mean, I know it's a business. I get it. But then I'm also wondering too, like, these Christian publishers who are publishing all these Bibles, are they doing it because they're afraid that they're going to not be able to sell Bibles anymore?
Like, I think so. I think you got to just like dress it up a little bit. At one point, everybody's going to have a Bible, right? You know, at some point.
At some point, you would hope.
There are 2 billion Christians. I mean, even if we got really lucky and everyone converted to Christianity, you only need 7.5 billion Bibles. And really, you don't even need that many. I mean, some of the people will be babies.
True. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's what they need to create next, though, is like a special baby Bible.
Yeah.
That if we can figure out how to translate baby babble. And like know what they're saying, then we create a baby Bible. That's what we'll call it.
A baby babble Bible. I like that.
And so throughout, it's just nothing but baby babble written. And then people are like, oh, this is John 3:16. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then the baby's like, oh, I know what that says.
I won't buy it unless it has a fully illustrated baby babble U.S. Constitution in it, though.
Okay, we can make that happen. We can make that happen. this is getting off the rails. But no, but I think like, but I think that we, you know, again, when it comes to these different Bibles, like, look, buy a Bible, do what you got to do, right? There are free options. There's Bible Gateway. You can get the YouVersion app. You can get there are several ways to get free.
Can I just give a plug for my favorite free option? It's free to you if you happen to have the internet, and I guess if you can hear this podcast, you do. So, are you familiar with Streetlights?
Streetlights.
So, Streetlights Bible is an audio Bible, and it's not complete, but it's the best thing. And they have a really nice website, really nice app. But all the Streetlights Bible stuff is on Spotify. It's on, you know, Apple Music, but anywhere that you want to stream it, it's free. It's on YouTube. If you want to go look up Streetlights and just type in like a book of the Bible, you can find like on their YouTube channel. They've got all the Psalms. They just came out with Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. And here's what they do. There's a little bit of a really nice hip hop beat behind it. And I know this sounds like it's not going to be good, but I promise you it's good because the beats aren't like annoying. And then someone reads it and they read it well, and they read it very sincerely. They voice act it a little bit. And what's great about it is if there are women speaking in it, they have women actors read it. And if they have like Jesus and John the Baptist, they'll have Jesus be like one guy and John the Baptist, the other guy. They're not acting it out like a skit. They're just reading the Bible, but you know, it'll be a different voice for each character, but it is really awesome to hear the Book of Ruth like read by a woman. it, Song of Songs was like where the male stuff said by the king or the male in the story was read by a male and the woman was read by a woman. And to hear them read the Song of Songs as male and female back and forth to each other, it made 10 times more sense than it ever has before. So, so it's free. It's out there. It's wonderfully enjoyable to listen to. So if you got a phone, if you have a computer, jump on it. It's kind of awesome. If faith comes by hearing, it's awesome.
So, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Streetlights. And I just want to say, and every once in a while, the Streetlights team, they have this rap group called Prisms. And sometimes they just drop these amazing, like, Christian albums. Like, and it's on the same channel as the Bible. So you have, like, you know, they got almost the whole New Testament done. So you have, like, Book of Luke 1 month, and then next month, we made this really cool rap album, and it's great.
That's awesome. So you have Streetlights. So you have Streetlights Bible, which I'll put the link in the show notes for that. We have you have the YouVersion app, which I'll put the link in the show notes for that. You have Bible Gateway, all free, where you can just access the Bible. You can read about it. You can even open up some Bible Gateway. I know you can open up some like different resources to kind of help with like commentary and that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff's free, some of the stuff you have to pay for, but the commentaries, most of them, I think there's several of them that are free to where you can get some history and background. So there are free resources out there. But again, if you buy a Bible that's going to be not all flashy, right? Don't buy a Bible for flashiness. Like, because really, the scriptures were not, the words of God are flashy enough. You don't need to have some fancy schmancy picture on the front, and you don't have to have a bunch of quotes from celebrities trying to like help you. Like, if you want that, okay. But I'm telling you, I feel like, again, the marketing ploy of the publishers to kind of get people to buy these things because of emotion, right? The 9/11 deal is important. We need to remember that. But then to think of it as a way to market a Bible, I feel is a little bit, it feels dirty to me. Like, it really does.
It feels to me a little bit xenophobic. Like, you know as well as I do that this sort of is tied into sort of trying to, like an Islamophobia. And, I mean, that's at its core. That's, like, what people are thinking, you know, and to sort of say, like, hey, the Bible, if we can amalgamate the Bible and, like, the founding fathers' documents and the founding documents of the United States, if we can amalgamate the Bible and the United States, which is what we've always wanted to do and believe that this is the Holy Land, it's a way for us to sort of combat these sort of other faiths and beliefs that we are afraid of.
Yeah. And we have to be careful, right?
Right.
Because, again, the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God, the things that are important here, it wasn't written to separate. It was written to bring the creation together. And it was written to bring the creation back to their father, to their creator. And when we make it about a certain portion of the creation only being blessed and only being celebrated and only being important to God,
we miss
the meaning of the gospel. We miss the meaning of the Bible. And, this is directed towards that God Bless the USA Bible. But at the same time, I think that the Bible should not be a luxury item either. So when you have a homeless person who can't afford to go out and buy a Bible, who doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have, like, they should not look at a Bible as something that, well, that's something only rich people can own, right?
Yeah.
And I have to wait for somebody to go buy this for me. Like, it should be something that is absolutely, hey, you know what, even if the companies are like, look, you know what, we got to make some money, so we're going to go ahead and sell special Bibles, but we're going to make a certain Bible that has everything in it, lowest cost possible, that we want people to give away for free. Like, we are going to give it away for free. We are going to send them to Christian bookstores. We are gonna, if you want to order them, you can order them. We'll ship them to you, and then you can go ahead and just hand them out. Because that is where I feel like, that's when I feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing with the gospel, right? But again, I'm also going to say this. If you have a Bible, if you spend time reading the Bible, handing out Bibles or even, you know, whatever, like that's good and all, but you still need to be living out what you read. And so that means that you should be carrying the Word of God in every activity that you're doing. So you should actually be the freest Bible that people will ever encounter, because you're living out what you read. You're sharing with them what you've experienced. You share with them what you've read. You share with them why you live the way you live, because you are the free Bible. You are that free resource. So let me place that challenge out to you. If you're listening and you are a follower of Christ, read your scriptures, learn it, start living it. So people will be able to say, I have a free Bible, and it's Jared or it's Bobby or it's Tim, right? Because that's my resource.
Well, awesome. I think that needs to be the final word. Cause like I have more jokes and, you know, but it was dawning on me, that it was about 1 year ago now. I was thinking of who the Lee Greenwood Bible would be marketed to, or who that would appeal to. And it was about a year ago when, Mike Pence, this seems like forever ago, but last summer, do you remember when Mike Pence, like, did the let's set our eyes on Old Glory to win the race? Do you remember that? Mm. And he took the, mm-hmm. took the Bible verse and he put like, you know, put like the flag and America and replaced like, you know, Jesus and the prize and like all of that, you know. And I happen to remember that. But I still think back to Shane Claiborne's words from just a long time ago. You know, from the Jesus for President book, you know, and it's talking about, I can't see, you know, just to paraphrase him, Jesus wearing an America First t-shirt any more than I could see him wearing a Rome First t-shirt, you know, and because in the words of Shane Claiborne, it's like patriotism is too small. It's like God's kingdom is this bigger thing. And one thing about this sort of like God Bless the USA Bible, in a way, it kind of seems innocuous. Like you're like, oh, that can't be like harmful at all. But when you get right down into it, it's like, yeah, it's rooted in some harmful things, you know, it's mm-hmm. rooted in some like wrongheaded ideas, you know, and it's, I don't know, to feel like we are like the United States is the city on the hill and not the worldwide kingdom of God. Like you said, we're each of us being the Bible, being the light of Jesus, being the salt of the earth, you know, throughout everywhere, you know, Canada, Mexico, Africa, you know, it's like that, you know, that is the kingdom of God. And to sort of like narrow it down and like, here, we're just going to make one for just like the American portion of the kingdom of God. It's a little bit, it's just a little bit silly. That said, soon as they come out with the Black Lives Matter Bible, I'm probably going to buy it.
I would too, but I would also probably want to give extra money to the publisher who's willing to do it.
Right. You wouldn't even need the Bible. You're just like, dude, you published it here. Take my money. You know?
Cause that was a high risk that you were willing to take. And
no, man, I'm thinking Zondervan needs to go for it.
Zondervan actually, I think, pushed away from this Lee Greenwood Bible. I think they said they didn't want
to. Good for them. I feel like if you look at the list of what they publish, it's a little more legit. So who published the Lee Greenwood Bible? Was it like a church organization?
I'll find that out real fast.
Not that that's a really interesting answer. I'm just sort of curious.
The thing is, it's good. It's good to have an idea. HarperCollins Christian Publishing.
What?
So yeah.
All right. All right.
Oh wait, hold on, hold on. Oh no, 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 no. I'm wrong. Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA Bible finds new printer after HarperCollins Christian passes. The God Bless the USA Bible is still happening, even though HarperCollins Christian Publishing passed on serving as the manufacturer for the project.
As of May 26th, because they probably are gonna make money off of it. So it was kind of smart to pass on it, you know. But
yeah, as of May 26th, in an article from Relevant, that God Bless USA Bible couldn't find a publisher as of May 26th, and I don't see anything updating that as of yet. So the thing is that obviously if they really wanted to, I'm sure Lee Greenwood has the ability to self-publish. I'm not sure how you can self-publish a Bible though. I don't even know, but
it's gonna be public domain as long as you get a certain translation. But what NIV? I don't know. NIV might be public domain now. I don't know what you do to license that, but I'm looking at the website. Maybe it's the same website that you were just on, the God Bless the USA Bible. Mm-hmm. And it says in quotation marks, I don't know who this is quoting, the ultimate American Bible. That sounds so eugenics to me.
Gosh.
It sounds like an Aryan nation, but like American Aryan nation, like the ultimate American. But anyway, that said though, Lee Greenwood, if these are real pictures of him recently, he's doing all right. He looks healthy.
Yeah. I thought he was dead, but when I was
no, I did too, because he hasn't had a hit since about 1985. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't. I mean, is he still alive?
All right, hold on, podcast audience, while I check Wikipedia. But I feel like if he was alive, he would have been at some Trump rallies.
I mean,
no, it's. The wording used in Wikipedia, it is an American singer, so that means still alive. He is age 78.
Well, there you go. I mean, Lee Greenwood, alive and kicking, people. National treasure, giving us a good number one hit for America, and not just songs, but also a Bible. And yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. So, hey, you know, if you're listening, you're like, man, I'm going to get myself one of those Lee Greenwood Bibles. Hey, go for it. Just again, you know, hopefully you'll understand and you know that, that the documents that are in there are not ordained or consecrated or whatever by God. Like they are not canonized. They were not a part of the original documents that we see.
Yeah, like what the heck? Is there a British Bible with like the Magna Carta in it?
Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure. What's going on?
Yeah. It's like getting a Bible and having I'm sure there's probably a recipe Bible out there, but I'm just gonna make that joke. Like getting a Bible and having a bunch of Martha Stewart recipes and stuff inside there, or a Chip and Joanna Gaines Bible that had like a bunch of like here's where they found shiplap on Noah's Ark, right? Like I don't know, but like this is I kind of feel like this is kind of the stuff that you'd find, and it'd be like some sort of like goofy thing, and you know, I don't know. It's just we gotta be careful. We gotta be careful on what we're doing with the Bible because again. It's something that we should have reverence for. It's something that we should honor. And when we are allowing people to kind of do whatever they want to make it marketable, we're making it more of a joke than we are a document that points to our Savior. And and I think we have to be wise about what we're purchasing and why we're purchasing it. So
we do. And for anybody who wanted to take my bet about $5, I bet $5 that there's a Duck Commander Bible. I just Googled that and there totally is. And it's literally called the Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible. And it does have devotionals in it by Phil and Al Robertson. I promise I didn't know that, but I watched their show and listened to their podcast, and it's enough to know, you know. However, that said, though, if you made me choose between this and the God Bless the USA Bible, I'm reading this because the Robertsons are usually like 90% of what they say about the Bible is correct. So
yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, if this Lee Greenwood Bible doesn't necessarily go over well, you know where we'll find it?
Ollie's. Where? Ollie! There you go. Oh, drop the mic. Oh, that's it. I can't say anything better than that, so.
All right, man. Well, hey, this has been a good conversation. You know, just thinking about Bibles, and good to be back, man. It's good to be back and having this conversation. So we'll be coming back together again, hopefully next Sunday, and continuing into another conversation. But again, this has just been, it's been good to be back recording and starting off strong talking about this Bible. So yeah. Well, hey, again, you have been listening to the Frankincense Podcast. Again, if you like what you're hearing, if you've enjoyed the conversation, if you enjoy any of it, comment, like it, share it, subscribe, because it's very important for us to continue growing and moving forward in the podcast. But with that, I am your host, Bobby Benavides.
And I am Jared St. Martin Brown.
And we'll be talking to you later. Bye.